Last week on Thomas and the Bible, Paul keeps giving the Jews first right of refusal in converting to Jebus, but when they inevitably refuse, he abandons them and heads off to the Gentiles. So the Jews bring him off to the Romans, who don't care about any of that, and let him go. And it kind of goes off on a tangent from there, for like listening to my Aunt Fru, who went to Florida because it's hot there. Paul might die. Will he? Let's find out this week on Thomas and the Bible.
Hello, welcome to Thomas and the Bible. Yeah, thanks for the intro, Kevin. Kevin actually had a brain aneurysm during the intro from boredom, and it went on for 20, 30 minutes, so I had to trim it back. yeah, thanks for the intros as usual. But point taken, Kevin. I get it. The book is boring. I understand, you know, but I'm going to keep going. I think to date, I would be curious at the body count of this particular podcast. How many people have just quit, just been like, nah, and just jumped off a bridge? Like their full iPod, you know, whatever it is, their iPhone, iPod, depending on what era they were in, and headphones on, and they're in the middle, maybe on a break or on lunch or something, and they're just like, nah, can't do it. This Bible's too boring, and just jumped off a cliff. I don't know. I'm not sure how many people that is, but to the dearly departed, to those we've lost, let's thoughts and prayers, guys. But for the unlucky ones of us that are still around here to go through the rest of this book, I bring you Acts 21 through 24. I got an axe to grind. It's Acts 21 through 24. And it came to pass that after we... Okay, I'm still confused, but this switches between we and I a lot. And I think it's like... Sometimes the people who are with Paul or Saul, I guess. He goes by both, I think. Sometimes they're writing and sometimes he's writing. I don't know. It slips in between, you know, what person it's writing from. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus. And the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, like Ptolemy or Ptolemy, except mixed with mayonnaise, so Ptolemais. And saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day we were I can't read. Something's happened in my brain. Okay, here we go. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed. Oh, this is a challenge. And came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Oh, I just thought like... Oh, man, they ran into some evangelists. Oh, great. Avoid them. And I was like, oh, wait, this is the origin of that. These books are, this book is about evangelical Christians. So no, it's a little different. It's like if you read in a Jehovah's Witness book, like a book written by them, and they were like, oh, and then some Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on our door. And you're like, oh, yeah, I know that. Ugh, don't get me started. I mean, cool. Forgot that that's your book, so never mind. You have a different conception of that, which was one of the seven and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. That's always fun. And we tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. So someone's warning him, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go that way. There's a little worm in the labyrinth saying, don't go that way. If you go that way, it'll lead straight to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. As you can see, he's unfazed. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, this, the will of the Lord be done. And after those, it's funny how that works. Like, you can persuade a guy for a little while, but if he says, like, nope, I'm doing it, then it's like, okay, I guess the will of the Lord be done. But was it the will of the Lord for you to start persuading? Like, what if you had persuaded him? You know, it's weird. That's sort of, it's really a self-defeating premise, the idea that, like, well, the will of God. It's like, yeah, then you shouldn't do anything. Whatever you do is the will of God. It doesn't help you. Anyway. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and one, and brought with them one Mnason, M-N-A-S-O-N, Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, and thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Do, man, I am, sorry, my brain aneurysm-y today. Just, I have a touch of aneurysm, like just a little bit of it, you know, it comes and goes. Take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. So this is this weird thing where, like, he purifies himself by shaving his head and going with some boys. And so it sounds kind of, you know, it sounds kind of Catholic priesty, but I don't know what it is. Some sort of thing like, oh, do this, and then maybe the Jews won't hate you as much. Because Jews and Christians right now are not, obviously, the Jews don't like the Christians because they think they're, you know, taking away Jews and converting them and teaching them blasphemy and all that. I think that relationship's a lot better now, right? Or is it not? I'm not sure. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen him before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Oh, so it's like a false charge, I guess. I don't know. And all the city was moved. And this is my favorite part. Well, I'll just finish. And the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near, took him, and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And that's why he got his rapper name Two Chains. That's that's why it's Saul. It's Paul slash Saul. All these rappers have a ton of names. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and Two Chains. And demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another. Among them, you know, these multitudes. Whenever you see a multitude, they're all the same. They don't really know what's going on. Some say one thing, some say another. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, that's kind of a nice little turn of phrase there. Like, couldn't see the forest for the trees. He could not know the certainty for the tumult. He commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" And as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" What is that about? That's some reference to something that I guess is lost now. But Paul said, "I am a man," unless that's what he really did, I don't know. "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in Hebrew tongue, saying... And we have to turn to chapter 22 to find out what. So that's the end of 21. My favorite thing about this, about so many of these things, is like just a mountain of Jews, just like a city full of Jews, a whole bunch of them, just decide, according to this book, like, wait, we don't like that guy. And then they just riot and like, you know, basically run him out on a rail, except not something like that. They're like, hey, let's kill this guy, or they're about to kill him. And then some Greek guy saves him, or some chief of something, or a city official or whatever, saves him. And the people are like, there's just throngs of people just like, no, we need to kill him. And where did all these people come from? What is their motivation? What's going on here? It's just so funny how these Christians are able to piss so many people off, even in their own book. Even in their own book, they're unpopular and everyone hates them. All right, 22. "Men, brethren," so this is friends, Romans, countrymen. This is that, lend me your ears. It's like the Julius Caesar speech of the Bible. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." So he's, I like that that's his way of, you know, saying, leveling with them. Like, I'm one of you, you know, back in the day. Look, I know how the game is played. Back in the day, I was persecuting Christians. I've been persecuting Christians since before you all were born. "And went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." So this is, I don't know if you remember, this just happened like maybe 2 weeks ago. Saul was like killing Christians left and right. And then he saw Jesus and then he's like, oh crap. And he undid all that, or he tried to. "And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth." Okay. "I said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest see the just, no, that just one, it's capitalized, just and one are capitalized, it's kind of weird. Hold on, let me start. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and should, why is it that, and see that just one, I guess, I don't, in capitals, I guess like Jesus, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And as I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And Jesus is like, you know, you are kind of an asshole. I take it back. Let me find somebody else. Maybe you're not the right person to talk to. Just carry on. Actually, I'm going to strike you to death with lightning. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they, so they were unconvinced, which is odd. So I don't get why we hear the entire speech, and it's, you know, it's written down in its entirety. And it's pretty, I don't know, for being back then, it's pretty convincing. Like if I were a Jew, and I heard a Jew saying, look, I was one of you Jews, and I was killing Christians, you know, before it was cool. But then I saw Jesus, and I converted. I might be convinced, but instead, we hear this entire story. We sit through it for no reason. And then they're just like, no, kill him. Kill him where he stands. I don't really know why. Why? It doesn't, yeah. But anyway, they don't even give him some partial credit for the fact that he killed Stephen and, you know, like did a bunch of stuff to Christians. It's kind of weird. And they gave him audience unto his word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Like I'm saying. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes, it's getting sexual, I guess, and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. So they want to interrogate him. And they bound him with thongs. Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed of what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yes. This was the foolproof security, like, citizen papers they had back then. You just said, like, are you a Roman? And then if someone said yes, then it's like in Ghostbusters when Zool is like, are you a god? And he's like, yeah. It's like that. It's that level of scrutiny. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was born free. Then straight away they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known for certainty, the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And now we're on to Acts 23. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him in the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of hope and resurrection of the dead am I called into question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude were divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So there's like some internal difference between the different sects of Jews, I guess. And so he appeals to that. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. And the night following the Lord stood by him, and the night following the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing till we have slain Paul. So there's some people who are not robbing Peter to pay Paul, but shunning food to murder Paul, I guess, is this saying. They've pledged a hunger strike until they kill Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to... This is what I'm saying. Like, people really want to kill Paul for no discernible reason that I know of. You know, like, I mean, I guess you can put it... But wouldn't they hate all Christians this much? But they've singled out Paul. I guess they really don't like what he's teaching or what. But it's like, what... I don't know. It just is hard to believe. I guess it's not impossible to believe because people are pretty bad. But it's amazing the energy that Jews had back then, or anyone, to just be like, burn him at the stake. Not really, but just a group of people would just want a public hanging or something. Again, not really hanging, but some sort of a public execution for not really any reason. Now, therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. So this is their plan. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who hath something to say to thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him, of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast shewed thee these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, at the third hour of the night. So he's really overdoing, like, the protection detail for this guy. But whatever. And provide them beasts, that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. I love the governor Felix. He's like this... He's actually apparently he's a governor. He's like a well-respected man. Governor Felix, everybody. Felix. And he wrote a letter after this manner, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix. I don't know why it's... Felix is just a cat's name to me. Sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him. This is a letter that they're sending to the great governor Felix. Then came I and rescued him, having understood that he was Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, and brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of detail. Sorry, what is wrong with it? Guys, I'm seriously, I hope I don't start smelling burnt plastic, otherwise I'm going to be worried. But to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with them and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, he said, and when thy accusers also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So they sent him away, pretty much. The main chief guy sent him to governor, great Governor Felix, good governor. And Governor Felix is like, well, I'm just going to put you in jail for a while. And that's what he does, pretty much. But it's kind of protecting him, sort of, but also not great. All right, Acts 24, the last axe to grind for today. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. I really do picture Governor Felix is actually a cat, and it's a cat that rules a province or something. And so, like, great Governor Felix. Meow, 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 meow. Everyone, when they're trying to convince, because they're trying to convince this cat to murder Paul, and so they bring some delicious cat food, the soft stuff, not the hard stuff, not the dry stuff, you know, the nice wet food. And like, Governor Felix, I have here a laser pointer. You will do what I say. Notwithstanding that I not be further tedious unto thee, I pray thee, because cats get bored easily, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear of us thy clemency a few words, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had become beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many, many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void to offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had aught against me. Or let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, and I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your manner. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that might loose him. So he's wanting for a bribe. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So that's, again, kind of a cliffhanger, because Paul is still currently in prison and or in jail or whatever and being held. And a new guy, he really just needed to bribe the guy. That's all the guy wanted. That's all Felix the cat wanted, was some good cat food, catnip, a simple cat toy, anything like that. But he didn't do that. And now there's someone new named Porcius Festus, a new cat in town. So that's the end of our reading for this week. I want to thank you guys for listening. Very interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see at the end, as we come to the end of this book, which we're a few months from, who makes it or who dies, because lots of you will die. Sorry. It's a harsh reality of this podcast. A lot of you may die. And if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/TandTheB. And thank you to everyone who has. I want to thank John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Sarah McPike, Japan, Dan, Katie, Stacey Swainy, George Green, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerford, Lee Primesberger, and Travis Peterson. Thank you guys so much for being my fine patrons. That's patreon.com/TandTheB. It will cost you virtually nothing, and it will make my day and help the podcast keep going. So thank you, and I will see you next time.